Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Albertus Marais, a director of Tax Boutique, AJM Tax in Cape Town, to the Business Law Podcast today. Albertus, thanks for joining us. Great having you.
Thank you very much, Evan. It's nice to be able to talk to you.
I wanted to start with, obviously, the budget coming up, looming large. It's going to be a challenge. And we've had some interesting developments this year, of course, where we had the supplementary budget on the 24th of June to provide for an amended budget for the remaining part of 2020-21. Now, you're going to have significant budget shortfalls. There's no getting around that. I know you had a look at some of the numbers. It's going to be pretty hard to fill that void at this stage. And I think what we want to get to is our tax increase is going to be the right way to fill that void. But maybe let's start with how bad is the void going to be, and in light of the supplementary budget?
Yeah, so I mean, the void is pretty bad. I mean, it's close to 300 million rand on budgeted expenses per year for, 1.5 trillion rand. Yeah. So I mean, it's close to 20% of our budgeted expenditure per year we're not going to receive as an income. So somewhere the shortfall needs to be made up. So, I mean, the logical choice, or what South Africans have perhaps become accustomed to recently, is to say that government will simply move to hike taxes further. So, I mean, everyone is looking at a potential at tax hikes and expecting perhaps even more significantly a so-called wealth tax being introduced. Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a lot of concern amongst taxpayers at this stage. To this extent. However, I mean, if one looks closely at the policy proposals put forward by Treasury when delivering these interim budgets, we had the emergency budget being tabled during the middle part of last year, and then, as you alluded to, in October, the medium-term budget. Treasury states quite clearly that the shortfall will be made up with tax hikes, but through surprisingly small numbers. I mean, they talk about 5 billion, 10 billion per year. And that is not even close to what we need to fill this very significant and ever-growing gap in tax revenues. And it's quite clear to me that government is looking rather to the expenditure side to shore up its finances, and quite clearly through the much publicized public sector wage bill that is hotly contested and a political hot potato. But the question in the end will be whether government can see through cuts in expenses of these nature, and thereby ensuring that the tax base is grown through not hiking taxes at this stage, but in allowing the economy to thrive by virtue of simply having more or greater access to capital without it being paid away as taxes.
And possibly also recognition of the fact that we may be getting into, or we are, in overtaxed territory, which makes it exceedingly difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the interesting things is we have this concept of Tax Freedom Day, which you may be aware of. It's to say that when in the year would you say that everything from now going forward I will earn for my own pocket, so to speak. I mean, we have tax freedom days have been calculated for various different countries. Our own tax freedom day in this country is around about May. And over the past few years, it's been steadily creeping later and later in the year, meaning that the moment in the year in which you will now be earning income only for yourself becomes later and later. So yes, absolutely. I mean, South Africans are growing increasingly concerned about taxes, and in fact I think in hiking taxes government is starting to realize that they will in fact be collecting lesser taxes.
Of course, the political hot potato is the public sector wage bill. There's been an increase in rhetoric for about a year, even a bit more, of the need to actually cut back. And I know we got some strong indicators in October, but it's proving quite difficult. I mean, do you expect that to actually become a savior, as it were?
If we manage to go through with it, it will be a savior. Mm. I mean, it's going, look, our problems are much bigger than only the public sector wage bill, but it's become such a significant component of the budget year on year that, frankly, we cannot do without it. It won't be a savior, it is rather a necessity. Mm. We cannot continue down this path, if the ever-growing above-inflationary public sector wage bill is allowed to continue growing unabated, we will be paying more every year in expenses to public sector expenditure, both wages and otherwise, than we are able to collect in taxes. And that problem, we all know from international experience, is bound to worsen very quickly thereafter.
And of course, government debt and interest is the other outlying factor that is just worsening and needs to be managed significantly. Are there ways that can be managed a lot better than it has been, or are we going to have to just suck that one up for a couple of years?
It's something that you can't wave a magic wand at and have disappear with one stroke. It is unfortunately a structural problem that needs to be addressed over time. The problem has become so significant, Evan, that in the budget of the past year, the one that was released on the 26th of February 2020, when one interrogated the numbers, you saw that public sector debt and public sector wages amounted to 80% of the budget's expenses. Yeah. I mean, that is a staggering percentage. To think that 80% of every one rand that this government expends goes towards paying debt and to paying its employees.
Unbelievable. And I suppose ultimately the point that you're making here as well is that a short-termist approach is not going to solve these problems, right? We need to be brave long-term.
Absolutely. There are very clear structural problems at play and which need to be fixed. Now, it's quite clear to me, as we said, that Treasury has taken a number of significant steps to introduce policy, really to ensure that the tax base is grown and to make it attractive also for international investors to invest in this country. The question is whether politically government has the appetite to take on unions in pushing through these structural reforms that are necessary to save us from the brink of financial disaster, if I may be so dramatic.
Fabulous. Now, Alberto's wonderful points made. I think all eyes will be glued on the budget. And certainly, ultimately, you're saying as well, probably no wealth tax, right, this time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not possible and feasible. Let's expand that tax base and look at other ways. Now, incentives and providing incentives to corporates is important, and I think that's something that would need to be looked at. But the other side of it as well is foreign investment and making the economy more attractive to foreign investors. And I know recently the Surveillance Department of the Reserve Bank issued a circular announcing something interesting, which is an end to the long-standing exchange control prohibition against these what were called loop structures. Maybe let's just get into that and quickly determine if that is something that could help our economy going forward and could be quite a good move. Maybe just give us a little bit of a backstory on how these loop structures have worked and why there was a need to control them via exchange controls and building up to why they've actually changed that now.
Yeah, so the loop structure prohibition existed, I mean, since exchange controls were introduced, or at least the regulation thereof, as they exist at the moment, were introduced in 1961 already.
Yeah.
So it's to say that South Africans cannot hold investments or assets in South Africa via an offshore structure.
Yeah.
To give an example, I can't hold shares in a foreign company if that foreign company would own assets or shares in South Africa. That is a loop structure. Right. The same applies not only to companies, also if I'm a beneficiary of an offshore trust.
Right.
That trust is not allowed to hold assets back into South Africa. And the reason for that prohibition throughout, was not to say that we want to shore up and protect the integrity of the South African rand. Why that prohibition existed was to combat instances of tax avoidance. To say that by virtue of investing in South Africa through an offshore structure, typically in these tax haven type jurisdictions, I'm able to realize value on my investment without paying tax in South Africa. For example, if I'm investing through a company in a tax haven, I can have that company or entity then receive dividends or to sell my investments at a decreased dividend tax rate or decreased capital gains tax rates. And it's that exploitation that the loop structure regime sought to counter.
Of course.
Briefly then on why this has changed now, I think quite encouragingly, Treasury said that there are a number of instances where there are legitimate reasons for loop structures to exist.
Yeah.
Quite often you see offshore entities wanting to invest in South Africa and then to have distantly through the corporate structure perhaps South African interests being held at the top, completely removed and unaware really of the South African investments being made. In other words, no real tax-driven motives for that investment. It is a purely economic-driven investment that we want in this country. But then it is burdened by red tape and applications needed to be submitted and so forth. Mm. So Treasury has now developed new policy to say that tax avoidance is best regulated through tax legislation, and we will use exchange controls only and simply for purposes of ensuring the integrity of the South African rand. So it's quite encouraging in that sense to see it. And of course, in anticipation of this move, Treasury has introduced a number of tax amendments last year to ensure that these loop structures can now be taxed more effectively.
Of course. And the one thing I'm getting here is that this could be quite positive for foreign investment, direct investment into SA to support local entrepreneurs and the like. Is that right?
Absolutely. Mm. So what we've seen, and I've seen it in my practice very often, is that you have offshore or non-South African investments coming to this country and wanting to invest in businesses, startups or already well-established businesses.
Sure.
And then once realizing that South Africa has this strict exchange control regime in place, that is quite often enough to scare off investments.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not only to say that I need to apply to invest in this country, if you've ever heard of something as ridiculous as that, but secondly, that there are conditions before I can extract my funds. So it's very encouraging to see this new policy directive by Treasury. And further encouraging, it is only the beginning. We've heard in the budget last year that not only are we seeing a relaxation in relation to loop structures, but the whole notion of exchange control is being rethinked. And we are expecting an updated exchange control manual and a policy being published by the Reserve Bank during March of this year to announce significant relaxations of exchange controls to open up the South African economy to become more attractive to foreign investments, which we so direly need in this country.
Absolutely. Albertus, thanks very much. That's really encouraging news, I think. Obviously, on this side, where the things, proactive things that can be done to support the economy, and I think we'd like to see a lot more of that. Of course, the budget is going to be the hot potato, and we certainly hope to see some of these measures coming through that balance things and that also ensure that hard choices are made and that this economy can thrive without necessarily adding to the existing burden of taxpayers that have just been pushed too far. So, I mean, really, thanks for that view. Been great chatting, and we look forward to the budget in February.